there are rooms in which I can say the word inheritance and people would only think of money. So let us always be poets without self-righteousness and remember that every richness is a burden and every burden is a richness. I'm going to read a few poems from, we'll see what I'll do. It's absolutely amazing to be here. The walls are full of poetry right now. This is just absolutely fantastic, amazing poets. And I want to thank again Joan and Don for hosting me. It's just really, really fantastic to be here. I'm going to read a poem called Mahler in New York, which is and is not in the voice of Gustav Mahler. And it's from my first book, Fugue for Other Hands. And it goes like this. Mahler in New York. Now, when I go out, the wind pulls me into the grave. I go out to part the hair of a child I left behind, and he pushes his face into my cuffs to smell the wind. If I carry my father with me, it is the way a horse carries autumn in its mane. If I remember my brother, it is as if a buck had knelt down in a room I was in. I kneel, and the wind kneels down in me. What is it to have a history? A flock buried in the blindness of winter. Try crawling with two violins into the hallway of your father's hearse. It is filled with sparrows. Sometimes I go to the field, and the field is bare. There is the wind which entrusts me. There is a woman walking with a pail of milk, a man who tilts his bread in the sun. There is the black heart of a mare in the milk. Or is it the wind, the way it goes? I don't know about the wind, about the way it goes. All I know is that sometimes someone will pick up the black violin of his childhood and start playing. That it sits there on his shoulder like a thin gray falcon asleep in its blinders, and that we carry each other this way because it is the way we would like to be carried, sometimes with mercy and sometimes without. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so I overcompensated. My first book was called Fugue for Other Hands, and it was dark in every way. And my pathetic attempt to be light, I mean, this book came out, my publisher said, I hate white books. I said, deal with it. I'm doing thesis and antithesis here. But it's a dark book anyway. Lying to yourself equals poetry. The Figure. This is a poem called The Figure. It's for my ex-wife. You sit at a window and listen to your father crossing the dark grasses of the fields toward you. A moon soaking through his shoes as he shuffles the wind aside, the night in his hands like an empty bridle. How long have we been this way? You ask him. It must be ages, the wind answers. It must be the music of the wind turning your fingers to glass, turning the furniture of childhood to the colors of horses, turning them away. Your father is still crossing the acres, a light on his tongue like a small coin from an empire that has always been ruined. Now the dark flocks are drifting through his shoulders with an odor of lavender, an odor of gold. Now he has turned as though to go, but only knelt down with the heavy oars of October on his forearms to begin the horrible rowing. You sit in a chair in the room. The wind lies open on your lap like the score of a life you did not measure. You rise. You turn back to the room and repeat what you know. The earth is not a home. The night is not an empty bridle in the hands of a man crossing a field with a new moon in his old wool. We abandon the dead. We abandon them. Jack Gilbert, yeah, thanks. Jack Gilbert has this. You like Jack Gilbert? Jack Gilbert's poem? He has this little poem called Métier, and he says, "The Greek sailors do not play on the beach, and I do not write funny poems." And it's like, thanks, Jack. He reassures me a little bit. What am I going to do? I'll just read a couple more poems. I know everyone is tolerating the heat in here, which was created by our wonderful poets. This is a new poem. I'm betraying you all, and I'm writing a novel now. So poems come a little less frequently, but I love when they do. This is called The New Testament. For years I have carried it with me. The summer I took a dead boy's car and drove up through the briar of the valley, laid out on the hood above the river. Ravens swirled in the thermals, and toward evening the low song of an owl, flown far out of its range from the mountains, blew through me like the unanswered voices of the dead. High in the pines I could hear the wind. The pistol waited on the seat behind me like a word I had touched once to my lips, the one thing the living can say to the living. I must have waited a long time in that darkening, closing my eyes, opening them. But when the moon rose through the dark heart of the lindens, I lay back on the soft purr of the engine, the night thrumming like a black flock in my fingers, and I heard it for the first time, the end's song. Heard the end's song and the splendor of its arriving. And though the owl, the vast flocks, the river went, though the maples gave the wind away in their swaying, when I looked up through the last thrum of summer, I heard the nothing that persisted through the parting stars, the nothing that was endless and could not be blessed, and to which, though they may pass it by in fire, all drifting things must quietly surrender when they are entirely forgiven what they are. Thank you. There's so many Italian things happening in this room that I am a self-loathing half Italian American. I'm joking. No, I'm not. This is a poem about my dad, and it's called Duel, and I wrote it when he was unwell. He's well now. It's okay. It's called Duel, and it has a little epigraph from Kafka, which, you know, when you read Kafka, you just want to give up. And it's translated by Michael Hoffman this way: from the true opponent, a limitless courage flows into you. Kafka. Duel. It just refers at the beginning to Pushkin's. Pushkin died in a duel, and a proud man in a proud culture. I guess I'm writing about a proud man in a not too proud culture. Duel. Someone should tell my father about Pushkin's black silk waistcoat so he can lift up his hand and say he doesn't need to know. In the pale light tonight by my father's body, I have been able to piece together most of the story. How the Russian, dishonored and not yet finished with his life's work, bowed to his opponent and slunk off to his mother's estate, his life's fire purling from his stomach, and told no one. My father would not love this story, nor my love for it. This too easy figure for the sacrificial, the quiet sufferer. Pushkin, he would say, made great things, and he has not made great things. Pushkin was named for Alexander, the crosser of the Hellespont. My father was named for a kind-eyed butcher, poor as anyone. You know the story. A man works 47 years covered in the blood of animals. On the third day, they lay him off. Leave him in the parking lot of an A&P with a plaque under his arm and his name misspelled. And for the rest of his life, his hair smells like a Newark slaughterhouse, so even his good wife can't touch him. That kind of American beauty. But tonight it is nothing. Tonight my father's heart is in peril, and he would not agree with Pushkin that his ventricle is a plum-eyed sparrow thrumming under the hands of all the forces in his life who mean it to be free. He would not let Aeschylus tell him that the moon is a sister on a fire-eyed steed casting her seedlings on our bodies, so that drop by drop, wisdom grows there by the awful grace of God. He would not believe in the awful grace of God. All night I've read my father the stories of the great mourners, Achilles carrying Patroclus in his armor at Troy, the women of Leviticus loosening their hair beside the sinking hearses of their fathers. My father sleeps, and his sleep is found money. Summer now, and I walk out to the Hudson with its slag iron, its darker cargo. My father would not love the trials of the great mourners, filled as they are with hyssop and gall, daughters gnashing on their knees deep in the silences of their stories, or the light around Pushkin's body, his horses stomping in harness for the bold, felled man they knew. I lie down in the margin and listen to foghorns blow all the way to Nyack, Pearl River, Goshen. It is all a matter of give or be sold, ruin or be ruined. Why do I tell you this? Tonight it is summer, and my father's heart is in the hands of a thin, skittish doctor whose name he has to squint to pronounce. When Pushkin lay dying in his mother's estate, he wrote to his 10 lovers the same note. The night has unfurled its wings in the breast of me, and there is no world, no nest like your love. My father has no words for love, for the dark thing curled in the breast of him that means him harm, or well. Well, if love is a story that restores the storyless, I could pick one. But my father has the fury of the powerless. Already he is nothing, as no one. Already he has found out what Dantes did, who was Pushkin's rival in the duel. A good man has no story at all. He will rise, will fall, will find healers. He will dress again in his medic cut sweater and saunter right out of here in his body, spreading his arms to this river, this life that has nothing, no master. He knows what the long duel has taught him. In the end, you become like your enemy. A limitless courage flows into you. He is so like his country, my father. The light's wings will fill up his branches. He might sing still. He might. He just has to. I'll just end it there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.